Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I'd like for you to take a look at the announcements in your bulletin. Take a look at all the activities going on. Also, if we have any announcements from the congregation. Deborah.
Okay, tonight, Kitchen Christ is going to be doing the shoe buying.
Any others?
If you, when you received your newsletter this week, there was a whole page on the Plato Bazaar Barbecue. If anyone here is interested in renting a booth that they do crafts or Hampered Chef, Avon, Mary Kay, any of those things, I have some applications here. I'll have them after the service. If you'd like to get to me, I'll have them for you. Thank you.
Any others? I'd like to remind everyone that there will be a church lunch after the service this morning. Invite everyone to stay and eat lunch. Any other announcements?
Bellevue Church on 96 is having a revival this week. At homecoming this afternoon, revival Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Reverend Tommy Jones is preaching. Then the Grace Church on Lewisburg Pike, south of Franklin, right past Moore School, is having a revival service with George Estes preaching. This is tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. So I'm going to the Bellevue Church on Wednesday night. We'll eat supper here and then leave about a quarter till, those who would like to go. About a quarter till 7. They're beating a tent on their old church ground. And they're pretty up and hopes and things, and they're moving forward to rebuild. Pray for them.
If there are no other announcements, we'd like to have our registration, and if I could have some help passing out the registration books if they're not already out, we'd ask that everyone sign those, and also if you're the first one to sign, if you would put today's date and 10:45 up in the right-hand corner. We'd also like to recognize any first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? We welcome everyone. Moving on to our prayer requests. Do we have any new prayer requests from the congregation?
John, you want to mention Mr. Wadley's family?
Noah Wadley's family, that's Tommy Jones' wife, is a niece of Noah Wadley. Noah and Monty and his kids went to Tustin Common Christian Church back in his early 50s until he moved away to California. And Minnesota. A modest person, just a modest student. He married his wife one evening in January. Noah's funeral will be Friday at 2 o'clock, Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And the visitation will be Monday from 5 o'clock on the hill.
Mrs. Funeral Home. Miss Bell, Miss Teresa Bell, they come from the first service, but her mother is Ruth Loader, and they discovered an occurrence of cancer in her brain, they think, this week, so just very serious. Pray for her. Joy Thomas was not really good the last time I visited her. She's out of the record room, though.
Thank you.
You what now?
Thank you. Had a good report.
Well, good.
I saw her yesterday. She was conscious. She knew who we were. She had a good conversation.
any other prayer requests? Yes?
My dad had three sisters. My dad passed away a couple years ago, and this week two of his sisters passed away. First one, then another. So they were both in their mid to upper 80s. They were very strong believers, and it gives a blessing and a rejoicing to them, paying for their families they left behind, that they're so I'm terribly bad prayer request, but I think they listen to them.
If anyone would like to add a name to the prayer list, you can write it on the index cards in front of you and drop them in the offering plate. Bill?
Yeah, but I'd like to, our family would like to thank the church for their prayers, flowers, cards. We would like to have this church.
Any others? At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow with us for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Worship is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. Please join with me. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever.
Who shall the Lord kindly acts and make the praise of her?
Happy are they who act justly and do right at all times.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 195. Nothing but the blood.
Precious is the flow that makes me.
your heads as we pray, please. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, for that blood of Jesus, you sent Him into the world to live and to die. And in His life, O Lord, He showed us what life should be like. He taught us. He performed miracles. He encouraged. He corrected. He blessed. And Lord, then He gave us that supreme blessing, the blessing of salvation, shedding His blood to pay for our sins. Lord, we just come to thank You and to praise You. We pray, O Lord, that You would move in each of us in these moments together, that we might give honor and glory to You and express sincere appreciation for Your goodness toward us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, even as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal. Please join with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn 92. Love divine, all loves excel.
Thank you. below 30, please.
I may not be every mother's dream for her little girl, and my face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world, but that's alright. As long as I can have one wish, I pray. When people look inside my life, I wanna hear them say, she's got her father's eyes, her father's eyes, eyes that find the good in things when good is not around, eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found, eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes. On that day when we will pay for all the deeds we have done, good and bad, they'll all be had to see by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in me, more than anything I know, I want your words to be, she had her father's eyes, her father's eyes, eyes that found the good in things when good was not around, eyes that found the source of help when help would not be found, eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes.
Children's time now with Miss Andrea. If all the children will please come down front.
Deal.
important that takes care of you and watches out for you. Policemen. And we have a real life policeman in our congregation. Did y'all know that Mr. Larry takes care of us every day? He does. He's got a very important job. And sometimes it's a scary job. But he does it because he believes it's very important and because God gave him the special gift to be able to do that job. What about firemen? Are they important? Yeah, very. We found out how important a few years ago when my daughter's dad caught on fire part of our house fire. And we had very important people come to our house and do that fire. And did you know that Brother Larry is a volunteer fireman? Yes. So not only is he an important person being a preacher, but you know what? He's a volunteer fireman. Mr. Jim is. And there's some other people in here, I'm not sure of all of them, but forgive me if I don't mention all of their names. But let's just say we have a fabulous fire department here in I brought a picture to show you today of somebody else who's doing an important job, who's important to people in my family. What do you think? What's that look like?
An army.
Yeah, a soldier. He's a friend of ours who's in Iraq right now, and he is protecting the Iraqi people. He's protecting us. He's helping the Iraqi people build their nation and build a free nation. So he's got a pretty important job. Well, what my message to each of you is that we all have a very important job, not just people who you look at and instantly you know they're important, like a policeman or a fireman with his red hat on, or an army man with all of his paraphernalia on. And you know why we have an important job? Because we're here to tell people about Jesus and to help encourage people and uplift them. Let me read you a verse from Proverbs. A word in season, how good it is. And Miss Dawn's song that she just sang, she was singing about her father's eyes. Do you know whose eyes that song was talking about? God's eyes. And it talks about how God sees all the pain and sees what's needed in people. And he reaches out to them. That's what we need to do too. So we're each as important as Mr. Larry, as soldiers, as doctors, as people with big important jobs. We're all as important as they are. Because we need to encourage people, love them, lift them up, and above all, let them know that their Father in Heaven loves them. So sing.
Our offertory sentence today comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Will the ushers please come forward?
Dear Heavenly Father, today we come to you to express appreciation. Express appreciation for those who give of their time and their service. But we know it all flows from you, Lord. The talents and tithes and time, it all flows from you, Lord. And we thank you. We wish to show our appreciation. Dear Heavenly Father, part of that appreciation we'd like to show you is through tithes and offerings. We'd like you to bless them and multiply them. Take these monetary funds and we ask that you direct them where they need to go. Help us and guide us as we administer them. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you foremost for the gift of your Son. We ask all these things in your Son's most holy name. Amen. Scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 17 verses 1 through 4 and Matthew chapter 26 verses 26 through 29. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." In Matthew, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Need to make one, maybe not a correction, but an adjustment. I'm no longer a firefighter. I gave that up about 2.5 years ago, but thank you for noticing that. But Jim is, and every once in a while, Jim comes to church, and the little buzzer goes off, and he's out to, what, last week on Sunday, y'all had about 3 calls, Sunday, or 4, Sunday morning, Jim, is that somewhere near right?
Yeah.
Right, okay, right. And, you take advantage and forget the last one and go on to the next one. And I'm appreciative of them. As we go to lunch, right at the first of the gathering, there will be some sharing that we want to share concerning all of you, basically, all of you. And we want to warn you of that or inform you of that, that we might recognize all people who do things for the kingdom. Okay, you're being handed a sheet of paper, and you also, did you get a copy of Live, Forgive and Let Live? If you would, yes. Or they can get it any time. This is for afterward, too. It's just a reference sheet, but if they want it now, it might give them something to do. There's a couple up here. If the sermon gets real boring, it might give you something to do then. I'm always very much aware of that possibility after the second sermon that I tried to preach. I was aware of that. The sermon title is It's About Forgiveness And. It's About Forgiveness And. For the and, let me put that up front. And there are many things that it's about forgiveness and. But since I want to center in on forgiveness this morning, it's about remembering. Remembering the forgiveness and how it came about. Remembering the forgiveness and how it came about. Today is World Communion Sunday. We join Christians throughout the world this day celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And John, there may only be one for each family. I'm not sure how many we got. We can make some more. Interesting article. I'll refer to it later. It's not many things that the church agrees on. But a number of years ago, I believe it was a Presbyterian minister, suggested or invited others to let's at least try to get together on one Sunday a year in celebrating communion. And I'm sure that somebody says, no, I won't go with those Presbyterians or those whatever. And possibly even some Presbyterians said, no, I won't go with those other Presbyterians. That's always possible. But the attempt has been made for us to come together at the Lord's table on one day, and it's, for years it's been called Worldwide Communion Sunday, and then somebody wanted to drop off the wide and just said World Communion Sunday. And it's the first Sunday in October each year. So many, many, many Christians are with us today as we celebrate or as we observe. And observe is just another word for celebrate anyway. As we observe this sacrament that the Lord left for us to help us to remember Him. Through our participation in the supper, I hope that we will be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us at Calvary. Or if you're reading another book of the Bible, it speaks of Golgotha. Another language, one language called it Calvary, another called it Golgotha. Jesus died there on a cross, a hill shaped like a skull. And on that cross, He died a criminal's death. He wanted to pay for not His crime, because He had no crime. He was on that cross to pay for the crime of the world. And that includes your crime and my crime. Not His, We're the criminals. We have disobeyed the law of God. And you know that the bread represents His broken body, broken on that cross. I think of the broken skin, the crown of thorns, the spear thrust through His side. And you know that the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the vine, the cup, that represents His shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no forgiveness. I pose the question, why did Jesus die on the cross of Calvary? And my answer this morning is one reason for forgiveness. I think the main reason for forgiveness. He died that we might be forgiven. You ever get tired of hearing about forgiveness? You ever get tired of hearing that you ought to forgive? It's all right if you just don't quit forgiving. If you keep on forgiving, you can be tired of it and keep on doing it. It's like working in the garden or in the larger crop. You might get tired of hoeing, but you just keep on till you get through. And you may be tired of hearing about forgiving. You may be tired of forgiving. It's okay to be tired of it, but just don't stop it, because we're not through yet. We've still got a lot of it to do. Probably, though, we get more tired of hearing about forgiving others than we do about ourselves being forgiven. Do we not? If you really weigh it in the balances, we would rather hear about God forgiving us through Jesus Christ than to be reminded that we're called upon by God, ordered, if you will, to forgive others. That forgiveness, God's love is unconditional, but His forgiveness comes with some conditions. It's over and over, it says, except we forgive those who offend us, we cannot expect to be forgiven. Did anyone see 48 Hours last evening? 48 Hours mystery. Some of the people, we talked about it. I mentioned the early service. Some people talked about it. We were appalled by the same thing. I just saw a portion of it, but it was a case that had come up after 1957 it happened. The man had killed two policemen, among other things. He was guilty of rape. He was guilty of other crimes. But see, on murder, the statute of limitation never runs out. He was found after... how many years since 57? It was a number of years ago that he was found. A few. And he was tried and he was sent to prison for the rest of his life. And rightly so. But the real sad part of it was, not that he was going to prison, the real sad part, for me at least, was that the family of the two policemen who were killed, both of them still had venom in their speech. They were still so angry and so hurt. And two phrases that really got me, that bothered me, because it's hurting those folks more than it's hurting even the man that did the killing. One of them said, "I will never forgive him." One of the children. And the other said, and this was, it was more than I wanted to hear, says, "I hope he burns in hell." I just hope that that person, those people, can learn to forgive somewhere. But if we're tired of hearing about us forgiving, That's part of the Bible message. And it's for us again today. But the greatest aspect is that we are forgiven. We are forgiven if we so desire. Jesus died to provide forgiveness for us, so that we could be forgiven our sin. And that we have sinned is a fact. That we need forgiveness is a fact. And yes, every one of us. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there is not a just man upon the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the Bible says that we have turned everyone to our own way, and that our way is opposite from God's way. His ways are so much higher than our ways that we can't even really comprehend it. We sin in numerous ways. We sin in our thoughts. We sin in our words or through our words. And we sin by our action. We have not lived up to the standard that God set for us. You remember Adam and Eve? God created them, and He created a great garden for them, and He set them in the garden, and He gave them instructions, explicit instructions, and then they failed the test of life. They did not live up to the standard that God called them to live up to. They did not live up to the standard that God had set for them. And because of our relationship or kinship to Adam and Eve, we're sinners. By our nature, we're sinners. But then we have done wrong ourselves. Our sinful thoughts, our sinful words, our sinful action. And sin is not only what we do in words, thought, or action. Sin is often what we don't do. This is not new to most of you, maybe to some of the children. It's relatively new. But we sin when we fail to do that which is right and good, when we could have done something, when the opportunity was before us to do something. These are called sins of omission. We sin by doing wrong, which is committing sin. They're called sins of commission. We've committed a sin. And then we are guilty of the sins of omission by omitting doing what we ought to have done, or thinking as we ought to be thinking, or speaking as we ought to be speaking. Now, how guilty are we? Probably you don't know how guilty you are. Probably you have forgotten the sin that's charged against you, or could be charged against you, or and ought to be charged against you. I've forgotten so many. Every once in a while, I have forgotten something. Even some of these that I've confessed and trust that Jesus has taken the way, and I wake up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and remember something. That's Satan telling me, "You don't really believe that Jesus' blood paid for that sin, do you? That was too gross." You ever do that? See, we forget them. How guilty are we? How guilty? How often does the average person sin? How often in one day do we sin? How often have you sinned this day? More than likely, if you drove over 5 miles to get to church, you sinned by being mad at that other driver. Or you may have griped at part of your family before you got out the door this morning. Or maybe at 1:30 last night when somebody heard something in the house. And it became a bit irritated that I had to get up and guess who gets to find out who is breaking in the house at our house? don't know what I could do, but I have to go and check it out anyway. Shine a spotlight on him. But anyhow, you know, I was a bit irritated. That was not right for me to be irritated. I should be happy that I'm considered worthy to go and check out those situations, should I not? How often have we sinned, though? You want to confess yours? Did we have a confess? Do we sin 50 times a day, maybe? John Calvin said that no one knows the 100th part of the sin that clings to his soul. We forget them. Psychologists tell us, modern psychologists, that we have forgotten, listen to this, we have forgotten 99% of everything that we have done that is wrong or failed to do that was right. We've forgotten it. We bury it. We hide it. We don't want to remember. We want to think that we're better than that. So we forget it. Are these psychologists wrong? They deal with people every day. James Kennedy suggested in his book, Evangelism Explosion, a book that I read many years ago, and I pulled it out. I remember this illustration. He suggested that we just count three sins a day. You think you've sinned three times before midnight tonight? You think that... would you be guilty of that? Am I being unfair to say that we will sin three times a day? If we sin three times a day, how many is that in a year? 365. Just take 360. That's 300. I mean, that's 900. 3 times 300 is 900, right? Then you got 65 there that you don't have to count. Wow. 65 times 3. Let's say... Say 1,000 for round figures. 1,000 a day. And probably, when are we held accountable for our sin? 10, 11, 12? I've probably been held accountable for mine. I was a little slow learner. Maybe when I was 15, I began to be accountable for mine. But maybe it was when I was 10. Maybe I just wanted to be a slow learner only in those cases where it was going to be held against me. So if for 50 years... for 50 years that I've been accountable for my sin, and 1,000 a day, 1,000 a year, 1,000 a year, could be 1,000 a day, but 1,000 a year, how many is that? 50 times 1,000, 50,000 sins that I am guilty of. Is that outrageous to think like that? Am I pretty much on track? Or do y'all live in a different world than I live in? Are we close? 50,000? And if you're 60, been accountable 60 years, that's 60,000. And you go on and on. 1,000 a year, if we could be that. And then our sinful nature. With Adam and Eve being our parents. That causes me to say, you remember the song, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Well, it prompts this thinking about how sinful I have been, if only three a day. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of forgiveness. It's me, standing in the need of forgiveness. And that's what Jesus went to the cross for, because I was so needful and you were so needful of forgiveness. And Jesus provided. Jesus provided forgiveness for us. He forgave a paralytic. Matthew chapter 9. It's also in Mark chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5. Could Jesus really forgive sin? Well, some people said of Jesus, who is this claiming to forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. And he said, all right, I'll show you. To the paralytic, he said, just get up and walk. And the man got up and walked. They were astounded. They didn't believe in him. Some of them did. Most of them didn't. They didn't understand that they needed forgiveness too. They didn't understand that he could forgive. A woman in Luke chapter 7 came and anointed Jesus' feet. Somebody said, "That's a sinner. That's a sinner woman. What do you mean?" But he forgave her sin. The Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, opens the letter with this, speaking of Jesus. He opens the Colossian letter speaking of Jesus. He opens the Ephesian letter speaking of Jesus. Paul preached Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, he's speaking about Jesus, said, "In Him," or "in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And then in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 4, he is speaking again. The Apostle Paul is speaking of Jesus. And he says, "In whom," Jesus, "in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Every time, it appears that every time Paul got an opportunity to write a letter, he'd write about Jesus and say to the people he was writing to, "In Him, in this Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin." He forgave the paralytic, he forgave the woman, he forgave the Colossians, he forgave the Ephesians, and he forgives us. He came to provide forgiveness. See, I didn't want to tell you how bad you were this morning or remind myself how bad we were, except I could follow it up. But God showed His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not want to leave us in our sin. He sent Jesus to pay for it. And 1 John, John wrote, John the Evangelist, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and will purify us from all unrighteousness." Jesus went to the cross to provide salvation. That means to forgive us. Sin separates us from God, and He wanted to clean that sin out of our lives. And He shed His blood that that might happen. If we have put our faith in Him, He has cleansed us. If we will put our faith in Him, He will cleanse us. Trusting in Him, His death, to be payment for our sin. And as forgiven people, we are obligated to forgive those who sin against us. Not only obligated, we benefit when we forgive those who sin against us. Read the article in your spare time if you haven't already read it. The importance of forgiveness. They even have a department now of exploring gender differences in forgiveness. And that's just a paper was written. And then there's a department in some organization how forgiveness relates to our health. So we benefit from forgiving others. Not only from being forgiven eternally, but on this earth we benefit by forgiving others, those who sin against us. But that's the difficult part, isn't it? That's the difficult part. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray for forgiveness as we forgive those who sin against us, or as we forgive our debtors, or as we forgive those who trespass against us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Will you hear these words? And this one I wanted to just read from Matthew itself, even as somebody says the King James Version. "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Sounds conditional to me. Matthew 18. In Luke's leaves off a zero. why, I don't know the difference. Was it two different occasions? Might have been. It says, forgive your brother 7 times 7. But Matthew's record of this adds another 0. 70 times 7. If he sins against you, forgive him. Luke 17. 7 times 7. That's a lot. That's unlimited, is it not? Unlimited forgiveness. Gary?
Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Yeah, once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again
this time, if you will, express your faith in Jesus for your forgiveness. As simple as confessing your sin and asking Him to forgive you. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's your need. Does it happen right now? And you who believe in Jesus as your Savior are trusting Him as the one who forgives you. You're invited to eat and drink from His name. All believers gathered in this place today, join with us, if you will, in remembering His sacrifice for us. Lord God, we thank You for this bread. We thank You for Jesus giving His body. Father, we thank You for You having Jesus to leave us this remembrance. Yes, sir. Amen. Holy God, for the fruit of the vine that represents Your blood, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Thank You for it. And thank You for this time to remember Your shedding. Let us eat and drink, remembering it was all for our forgiveness. Thank you. Turn to hymn 398 and sing the first and the third stanza. First and the third stanza, 398.
Thank you.
into the world claiming the forgiveness that God offers, and in return forgiving those who have offended you or who will offend you. In Jesus' name, amen. Recuperate a little bit.
Drive all night?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I go to the sister's house. We got 10 at the spot. How are
you doing?
Good to see you. Yeah, I thought she was looking for a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw him up here. Recognized you. Good to see you. Hey, how's it going? Learning and studying and all like that? Okay. Now, I don't know, two or three, three or four.
I'm gonna leave here.
Okay, going early, huh? Okay. How are y'all?
Good.
You doing okay? You were in bed rest for a while, but you overstayed.
All right.
Good. Good. Okay. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, fellas. Y'all still got yard sale going?
No.
It worked fine, didn't it?
Yeah, just didn't turn it off.
Okay. Hi, Jose. Yeah, we'll get you over there. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do what? Yeah, I don't want you to roll by yourself. I'll get... Mr. Jim, if you get Miss Josephine inside the door there, get Miss Josephine inside the door. Don't let her go too fast down that incline. Yeah. you knew it was Noah and them, didn't you? Hey, how you doing? From a little girl. Yeah, come back. They come back. All those I confess, they come back. How's the boy?
Good.
Good. Okay. Scout?
No.
Okay. Good. Yeah. That's a good. That's good. Good, good, good. You're doing okay. Thank you for your call.
We gotta get out there. Let's go.
Yeah. But tell him hi anyway. Tell him hi. Yeah. I'm proud of. I just hear about Tuesday night, but y'all seem to have a little group and learning and fellowship, and not the same people, but about 10 or 12 every time.
Yeah.
And so, that's right. We tried to do Sunday school for so long, and somehow, maybe the Lord revealed, said, don't worry about Sunday, do it on Tuesday or Thursday. Well, that's okay, yeah, but it got going, and yeah, it got to, we had to do something else to get it started. That was a pretty service yesterday, too.
Yeah.
Now, y'all going with your dad? When are y'all leaving?
Thursday.
Yeah. Going to drive up or fly up?
Fly up,
yeah.
We're flying separately from them. They're taking an earlier flight.
Okay. Well, we're going up to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Carol's got a niece getting married in St. Louis 2 weeks from today. Well, no, it's from Friday. Friday. Yeah, she's going to get married on Friday. Yeah. 2 weeks from Friday. So we're going to go up there.
Yeah, so I won't be here next weekend.
I guess you won't. I guess you